Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. And this first part of it I'm calling the Joshua principles. I usually don't like sharing on these days, Mother's Day and Father's Day and those days, for all sorts of reasons. But what I'm sharing today is not just for fathers, it's for all of us. These principles apply to all of us. No matter what stage of life we might find ourselves in, there are some principles that I hope to highlight for us this morning that I think if we apply them will bring about change, victory in our lives. Turn with me, if you will, to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers 13. And I'm going to read from verse 32 through to Numbers 14 and about verse 9. So Numbers 13, verse 32 through to Numbers 14 and verse 9. And they spread out among the Israelites, or they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, "The land that we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." That night, all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, "If only we had died in Egypt or in this desert. Why is the Lord bringing us up to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?" And they said to each other, "We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." So as I share this morning, I just wanted to encourage us, looking a little bit at the life of Joshua, and that's why I call it the Joshua Principles. You know, Joshua had some of the same experiences as these spies. He grew up in a time of slavery. I mean, that's all he knew was slavery until Moses came on the scene. So he saw the abuses of slavery. He was there when Moses came along and Pharaoh decided, "No longer will you get grass to help you make these bricks, these blocks. You're going to have to make the same amount and get your own straw for yourselves." He saw all of that, and he saw when they got food and the onions and the meat and the leek and the garlic. He was there. But yet still, he had a different perspective from these 10 other spies. And I have meditated on that. That we can all have similar experiences in life. We can all have similar background. It can come from situations of abuse and mistreatment. And it can color your life, or you can allow a perspective of God to intervene and change how you see life. You can decide that I have to live with all of these hurts and abuse for the rest of my life. Or you can decide that there is a God who does miracles, who will heal me and set me free and cause me to come into all the things that he has promised me. If you have the Joshua mindset, the Joshua perspective, life can be completely different from those of the perspective of Egypt is better than where we are at. Can you imagine that? To go back into slavery can be better than being in freedom? You must be kidding me. You must be crazy. These are people who saw the power of God. They experienced the power of God. They saw it. And there came a point where they had to make a decision. And the decision was, I'd rather go back to Egypt. In fact, let us have a little session here. Let us appoint a leader who's going to lead us not into God's promises, but into bondage, into slavery, into the things from which God set us free. In Numbers 14, further down in that chapter, verse 20, it says, the Lord replied, I've forgiven them as you asked. Nevertheless, as sure as I live, and sure as the glory of the Lord fills all earth, not one of the men who saw my glory and miraculous signs I performed in Egypt and in the desert, who disobeyed me and tested me 10 times, not one of them will ever see the land I promised on oath to their forefathers. No one who has treated me with contempt will ever see it. So the Lord is going on to say that these men and the people of Israel, they saw the power of God. They saw the miracles of God. They saw the plagues. They saw the Red Sea parted. And yet now they are at a point where God is saying, it's time to go into the promised land. And they're like, no, we can't do it. Despite what they have seen, despite what they have experienced, they were prepared to go back into the bondage from which God set them free so miraculously. And I'm amazed. And so Joshua highlighted one principle here. He says, if the Lord is pleased with us, that's the first principle. If the Lord is pleased with us, can I tell you something? If you're a believer today, if you know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, God is pleased with you. It's not a question. It's already answered because the blood of Christ has paid the price. So God is pleased with you. So if God is pleased with you, then whatever God has in store, there are some things that God wants us to put in place so we can experience his promises. God didn't set us free so we can live in the wilderness. God set us free to enter into the promised land, to enter into all that he has prepared for us. By the way, it's even this Father's Day, it's still okay to say amen. Amen. For a moment I thought I was in a different church. I'm like, what's going on here? So the Lord heard the grumblings of these people. 10 times the test of the Lord. Can you imagine that? And each time God did a miracle when they grumbled. So you'd have thought that by now they'd have reached a place where they'd have said, if God did it in the past, he's going to do it again. Friends, it's important for us. We were sharing about this, I think it was on Wednesday. It's important for us to recall and acknowledge and recount the miracles of God. To testify concerning them, because it builds our faith. It builds the faith of people around us and it gives glory to God. So 10 times they saw God work miracles and here they were grumbling again. And they weren't just grumbling. They were prepared to go back rather than to go forward because they were not looking at things from the perspective of God. They were looking at things through the eyes of unbelief. They were looking at things through their own natural eyes. And they saw the men in Jericho, in Cana, they were big, they were huge. They were giants. But Joshua had a different perspective on things. There's something special about Joshua. In Numbers 13, back in about verse 16, after it mentioned the men who are going to be sent into the land of spies, it mentions Joshua. And in verse 16 it says, these are the name of the men Moses sent to explore the land. And Moses gave Oshea, son of Nun, the name Joshua. Moses changed the name of Joshua, this young man. Oshea means salvation. So his parents decided to call this young man Oshea, which wherever he went and people called his name, they realized he's talking about salvation, salvation. There is salvation. There is a promise of salvation. But Moses was like, it needs to be more specific. He said, Joshua means Yahweh saves, Yahweh delivers, Yahweh is the one who gives salvation. It's not just salvation out there. It's a salvation that comes through Jehovah. And so every time now when Moses' name was changed, wherever Joshua went, when his name was changed, people understood to a saying, Yahweh is our deliverer. Yahweh is our salvation. There is a salvation that comes to us, and it comes to us only through the name of Jesus. By the way, that's the New Testament translation of Joshua is Jesus. And so there is a promise there for all of us that in Jesus Christ there is salvation. In Jesus Christ there is deliverance. In Jesus Christ there is freedom. Moses saw something about Joshua. Moses spotted something, and Moses says, young man, your name is now Joshua. Young man, wherever you go, people understand that Yahweh is the deliverer. Yahweh is the one who intervenes. Yahweh is the one who brings freedom. And so now Joshua was living up to the name that he was given. And we all know that back in those days, that name was significant. Name could describe your origins as well as your destiny. And so Joshua now had a destiny to fulfill, which he did. You all know the story. Read the book of Joshua, you'll see it. He did. He fulfilled it because through him, Yahweh brought salvation and deliverance to the people of God. So there's more to Joshua than we sometimes see. We sometimes underestimate who Joshua really was. But I believe that Joshua embraced this new identity, this new name that Moses gave to him. And it caused him to function differently. And that's why we shared sometime last year about identity. Identity is important. And what we want, what you want, is to embrace the God-given identity of who we are. And so when the Bible says that you are sons and daughters of God, it's talking about mature sons and daughters of God who are supposed to function as heirs of the Father. So we're not just here playing around, but we're here about the Father's business. As Jesus said when he was 12, don't you know I must be about my Father's business? In other words, we are here as representative of the Father to see the kingdom of God being extended, to see the power of God released, to see people come into salvation. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's a good point. Yeah. All right, Joshua. Yeah. He's an awesome man. It's a Joshua. Focus upon God's promises, not upon the circumstances. The circumstances says these guys are huge. In fact, these guys don't care about anybody. In that city, they devour one another. We are small in their sight. I mean, we are small in our own eyes, but even more so in their eyes. What is God doing? Why would he bring us out here to kill us? He didn't bring you out there to kill you. He didn't bring you this far to leave you. He has a plan and a purpose. He has a destiny he wants to bring us into. So stop looking on the circumstances. Stop looking on the giants. There's some similarity between Joshua and David, by the way, if you realize it. Because when the Philistines sent out their giants, as all the people of God could see, was the Philistine Goliath. But David didn't see Goliath as an issue. What David saw was that there was a God who is the Lord of hosts, who is going to defeat the giant. And Joshua had a similar perspective. Joshua's like, yeah, there are giants there, but you know what? If God is pleased with us, we are going to have victory. In other words, even though the land is full of giants, and friends, can I tell you something? As long as we live this Christian life, there will be giants that will arise in our lives and in our circumstances. There will be situations that seem intimidating, that seem huge. But you know the old time saying, don't tell me how big your problems are. Just tell me how big your God is. So Joshua wasn't concerned about how big these guys are in the land. What Joshua was concerned about is how big his God is. So Joshua didn't follow the crowd. The 10 and all of the people said, oh, we're going to die. Oh, why would God bring us out here to cause us to be killed? Our wives and our children are going to go into be plundered. It's hopeless. He didn't follow the crowd, and he was not afraid of the giants. This is what he says in Numbers 14 and verse 9. He says, only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not be afraid of the people of the land. In other words, don't allow the spirit of fear to control your life. The spirit of fear will always make things look bigger than they really are. Will always be there to intimidate you. So don't be afraid of the people of the land. Why? Because we'll swallow them up. He had no doubt. He says, if God is pleased with us, it's all over. If God said it, that settles it. He says, their protection is gone. David said to Goliath, you come with me with a sword and a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. In other words, your sword and your spear can't protect you when God is on my side. Amen. You follow what I'm saying, saints? When God is fighting our battles, it doesn't really matter what the enemy has. It doesn't matter what the circumstances look like. God is going to give us victory. God will make a way. And so God says later on to Joshua, let's be strong and courageous. That's all I require of you. Just be strong and courageous. So Joshua is here saying, their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. If God is with us, Paul says in Romans 8, who can be against us? God is with us. God is with us, friend. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is with us. It therefore doesn't matter what the circumstances are like. If God is with me, I'm all right. If God is with me, miracles are going to occur. If God is with me, all I need to do is to keep my eyes on the Lord, not upon the circumstances, not upon the giants in the land. And so you can know the people are afraid because Joshua repeated right of that. He says, only do not be afraid of them. Stop looking at the giants. Stop explaining to me how big these people are, how impossible it is for God to intervene. I don't care how big your circumstances are. What I want you to know is that with God, all things are possible. Amen. Nothing has ever held my God back, and nothing ever will. He will make a way when there seems to be no way. That's the type of God that we serve. But how could Joshua have such a different perspective from the other 10? He experienced the same things that they experienced. But you know what happened? He caused the miracles of God to change his heart. He caused the miracles of God to work something inside of him, to cause faith to be found inside of him. You know, friends, we can just live and God does miracles and it don't change us. Or you can live and every time God does a miracle, it causes your faith to grow. So you can move from faith to faith. So the first principle is this. God is pleased with us. The second principle is, do not be afraid of the giants. Do not allow fear to control your life. Don't function by fear. You know what I've said before? Fear is just false evidence appearing real. Don't allow fear to control your life. Don't allow circumstances to dictate to you how God is going to respond. He's a God of miracles. Why? That's what he specializes in. Therefore, he's going to do things that go contrary to what is normal. Joshua saw something. He was there with them, but Joshua saw something else. Joshua said, their protection is gone. That's what he said. He says, their protection is gone. We are going to swallow them up. He was living and functioning by the Spirit. And he already saw the enemy as being defeated. You follow what I'm saying, saints? We can all look at the same circumstances, but if we're looking at it from God's perspective, we realize, I already have the victory. I don't care how bad things look, but my God has already given me the victory. Amen. But others are like, oh, we're going to die here. Just like, no, they're going to die when we go into the land. I'm telling you, friends, the things that God has in store for us to receive it, a lot of it depends upon how we see things. A lot of it depends upon the level of our faith. A lot of it depends upon whether or not we're going to believe God's word. Are you going to allow the circumstances to intimidate you? Or are you going to see and realize that if God has already said it, it's already there for me to walk in? It's settled. Their protection is gone. The enemy is already defeated. How many understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Satan was defeated 2,000 years ago on the cross. The blood of Christ has already been shed. Victory has already been given to you and to me. Paul says in Corinthians that all of his promises are yes and amen. There's no question about it. It's settled. All we need to do is to walk in it and receive it. Let me tell you some more things about Joshua. Joshua was fascinated by God's presence. In Exodus 33. Actually, I want Exodus 33. This is what it says, verse 7. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. So Moses established a little tent out there outside the camp. And if you wanted to seek the Lord, it was an open thing. Anybody who wanted to seek the Lord could go to that tent. That's what it says. Anyone inquiring the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. So it was open for anyone who wanted to go there to seek God's face. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances of their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud stand at the entrance of the tent, they all stood and worshipped, each at the entrance to his tent. So they stood a distance away. Verse 11, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Then Moses returned to the camp. But his young aide, Joshua, did not leave the tent. Joshua is like, the glory of God is in this tent. I'm not leaving. I'm lingering in his presence. Moses, you can go on back. And those people can worship. We are at their tent. But I'm staying here in the presence of God. I delight myself in his presence. I love his presence. That's what Joshua is saying. So it shows me something about the heart of this young man. God calls him a young aide. From he was a youth, he delighted in God's presence. Think about it. He's living a dispensation where there's no church, there's no Bible, there's nobody to encourage him. But he got a glimpse of the power of God from there back in Egypt. And he's like, I got to know this God. I'm not leaving the presence of God. I'm going to spend time. It sounds like David that says, only one thing I require. And that's what I'm going after. I'm going to inquire in the temple of the Lord. That's all I want, is to be in God's presence. Because when you're in God's presence, you see things differently. It causes you to realize how big your God is and how small circumstances are. I like this young man. He had a heart to seek God. It was open. Anybody who wanted to go to seek God could go to the tent. But they didn't. But Joshua got a chance, and Joshua's like, I'm not leaving. He has a heart to seek the Lord. There's something different about him. And he wasn't seeking God because he was trying to make a show. He was seeking God because he wanted to know God. Exodus 24 and verse 12. The Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and stay here. Stay there. And I'll give you the tablets of stone and the law and commands I've written for their instruction. Then Moses set out with Joshua's aid. And Moses went up on the mountain of God. He said to the elders, wait here until we come back to you. Aaron and Ur are with you, and anyone involved in the dispute can go to them. Do you get what happened right there? Moses is going up to the mountain of God. And Moses said to the elders, you guys, you wait back there and take care of things. I'm going up into the mountain of God. But verse 13 tells us that Joshua went up into the mountain with Moses. And that's why in verse 14 it says, wait for us, plural. So Moses, like Joshua, myself, we're going up into the mountain of God, and we're going to hear from God, and we're going to spend time with God. And Joshua is there. You know how long he was up in the mountain? Anybody want to take a guess? You should all know. 40 days and 40 nights. It wasn't just Moses up there. Joshua was up there too with Moses. No food, but he's caught up in the very presence of Almighty God. Some of us will get so hungry, like, Moses, can I go eat something? But Joshua was caught up in the very presence of God. So much so, when they were coming back down and they heard the little singing in the camp, they were worshiping the golden calf. Joshua said to Moses, sounds like war. And Moses was like, no, it's not war. They're worshiping an idol. You see, Joshua was different. Joshua saw the glory of God. He walked into the glory of God. He experienced the very presence of God. And it changed him. Amen. It's amazing. We have the same opportunities to go into the very presence of God, to linger in the presence of God, and we find all manner of things to do. But to be in God's presence. But to delight in His presence. But to get to know Him. The Lord testified concerning Joshua and Caleb that they followed Him fully, completely, wholeheartedly. They didn't turn to the right or to the left. They have a different spirit. In fact, it actually says that about them. They have a different spirit than the 10. Joshua was loyal to Moses. Can you imagine that? He is serving as Moses' aide, Moses' servant, for 40 years. At least 40 years. He's there serving. He's well known as a leader, but he's there serving Moses. Some of us, if we serve for 1 year, we get tired. But Joshua saw it as a privilege to be a servant to Moses, because in that culture, a servant was understood to be your representative. Somebody who could represent you, you could send on your behalf, to act on your behalf. And so Joshua saw it as a privilege to serve as a servant to Moses. What a man. Exodus chapter 17. Exodus 17 and verse 7. And he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled because they tested the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Verse 8, the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to who? Joshua. Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go to fight the Amalekites. Moses had complete confidence in Joshua as a leader to go and choose men to go and fight. So Moses said, choose some of our men and go to fight. Tomorrow I stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. So you go and find some men, and you go and fight the Amalekites. I'm going to stand up here with the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua wasn't just somebody who spent all of his time in the tent and was not good for nothing else. He was a man of war. You understand what I'm saying? He was a man of war. He understood what it meant to stand and fight. He understood when it's required for you to fight and when it's required for you to stand back and see God do something supernatural. And so Moses said to him, choose some men. I'm going to stand with the staff of God in my hand. Verse 10, so Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses' hands held up his hands, Israelites were winning, but whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. Verse 13, so Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. So Joshua came to understand the importance of prayer in spiritual warfare. You see, Joshua's the one who realized, what, we're losing, what's going on? He looked up, Moses' hands are down. And when he started a victory and looks up, he saw Moses' hands are up with the staff. He came to understand the power of prayer. He realized that the victory is not in my ability. The victory comes from being in the presence of God and allowing God to work on our behalf. But from early, he wasn't afraid of the enemy. From early, he was ready to go out to fight and to see God do miracles. And Moses have this type of a man serving as his aide? Yeah. What a man. So this is what the Lord said, reading further in Exodus 17. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered. Make sure that Joshua hears it. Because I will completely blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. Moses built an altar and called it, the Lord is my banner. He said, for hands were lifted up to the throne of the Lord. The Lord will be at war against Amalek from generation to generation. And so even though Joshua experienced victory over the Amalekites, Joshua must have been concerned that there are so many more of them. This is just one little battle. And God was promising Joshua, saying, listen, Moses, write this on a scroll and repeat it so Joshua can hear that I'm going to completely destroy the enemy before him. A promise that he could build his life on. A man of war. Understanding it was because hands were lifted up to the throne of God that he got victory. So Joshua understood, my friends, the power of prayer. If you want to experience victory in your life as a Christian, you better learn and understand the power of prayer. Because I'm telling you, if you want to walk over the giants, you've got to first spend time before the throne of Almighty God. When David came against Goliath, he says, I'm coming against him in the name of the Lord, not in my own strength. It is God who gives us a victory. And those who spend time in God's presence, they will see more and more victory being wrought in their life. Those who think they can figure it out, they can work it out, they can find their own schemes, will end up being frustrated. But the one who keeps his eyes on the Lord will experience victory. So the principles are, the Lord is pleased with us. Do not be afraid of the giants in the land. Do not rebel against the word of the Lord. Just believe God's word. Believe what God says. Believe the promises of God. And you will see miracles. He will make a way where there seems to be no way. I don't care what your circumstances are. Don't be afraid. Don't be intimidated. Just believe God's word and say, if God doesn't do some miracles, God puts his name on the line. And so God, when Moses decided to build an altar and call it, the Lord is our banner. In other words, they got a revelation of who God is at that very moment. That he's the one who fights for them. He's the one who covers them. He's the one who protects them. He's the one who goes ahead of them and make a way. And so if God is our banner, then he's the one to whom we pay all of our allegiance. He's the one to whom we look for victory. He's the one who covers us. He's the one who goes before us. And so when it comes later on for them to go into the promised land, there's no problem for Joshua. Because he has seen the power of God. He has seen that God is a man who's true to his word, or at least a God who's true to his word. Oh Lord, help us. My friends, Joshua, as Kenny mentioned earlier, lived a faithful life to the Lord from a youth all the way through. From a young man who was an aide to Moses all the way through, he remained faithful to the Lord no matter what the circumstances are. He had to spend 40 years in the wilderness because of these unbelieving people. But when the time came, he was ready to take over from Moses and to lead the people into the promised land. He had already proved himself to be faithful. He already proved himself to be a man of war. And so the Lord said to him in Joshua chapter 1, "Okay, Joshua, now be strong and courageous. All I need for you to do is to be obedient to my word. Don't turn to the right, don't turn to the left, and you will see miracles." And Joshua understood the power of prayer. You know what happened? They sent out first the priests with the very presence of God. And as they stepped into the Jordan, there was a miracle. The priests are presenting those who stand in God's presence, who carry the very presence of Almighty God. You think Joshua was surprised? No, he had already been spending time with God. He anticipated that God is going to make a way for them to cross the Jordan. I'm saying to us this morning, friends, God calls us to be strong and courageous. Let us stand. And there's some principles that God wants us to live by. Some Joshua principles. Stop questioning whether or not God is pleased with you. If you're a believer this morning and you're walking with the Lord, God is already pleased with you. And if God is pleased with you because of the blood of Jesus Christ, then victory is already provided for you and for me. So all we need to do then is not allow the spirit of fear to control our lives. Don't allow circumstances to dictate to us. Don't allow giants to intimidate us. Just believe the word of the Lord and step forth in faith and see God do miracles. Linger in his presence. Delight yourself in his presence. Delight yourself. Just be before God like Joshua did. It will transform you. Transform your perspective on life. Cause your faith to become strong. In Daniel said, "The people who do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." We can all face the same circumstances. But it's those who know God, those who have been spending time with God, who's going to see miracles occur. And those who don't know God is going to say, "Why is God causing all of these things to happen to me? Why is God so mean to me?" Without realizing God is trying to bring you into something. Step into his purposes. Let us bow our heads this morning. Joshua lives a faithful life. At the end of his time in Joshua, he said to the people, "Choose who you're going to follow. The gods that you've served along over by the riverside, or the God who has been with you, giving you miracles all these years. Choose." And Joshua could say to them, "As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord." He's not an old man. He died 110. And he's like, "As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. I've seen the miracles of God. I've seen God at work. I know he's real. I know he's a supernatural God. I'm going to serve the Lord. And my family is going to serve the Lord because they're faithful." And if it's me alone, Joshua is saying, "If it's me and my family alone, we are going to serve the Lord. The rest of you, you can do whatever you want to do. I've been through this before. And the 10 didn't want to come and they died in the wilderness. Maybe you're in this house this morning. And the question or the statement of Joshua is the statement I'll ask you. Will you serve the Lord? Or will you continue to do your own thing and go in your own way? And maybe God has been speaking to you and saying, "Joe Campbell, this morning, I want to recommit myself to the Lord." I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand right where you're standing. Anybody who needs to recommit themselves to the Lord this morning, so you can stand like Joshua and say, "God is on my side." Anybody else? And then maybe there's some of us here this morning. You're facing some giants. You're facing some intimidating circumstances. And you're saying, Joe Campbell, would someone pray with me this morning that God would help me to continue to believe him for miracles concerning these circumstances, concerning these giants. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand right where you're standing. A couple of hands over here. Anybody else? I'm going to ask those folks who have raised their hand just to come forward so we can pray with you. You're facing some circumstances that look intimidating. Just come on forward. That you're indeed a promise keeper. That you're indeed a God of miracles. And so, Lord God, we pray you might help us to always remember that for miracles to occur, things must look impossible. And so, Lord God, help us not to focus upon the circumstance, not to focus upon the giants in the land, but instead to focus upon a God who is bigger than every circumstance and every problem that we can face. Help us, oh God, to put our hope and our trust in your word and in your character, oh God, to fulfill your word. And so, Father, this morning we thank you that you are that type of God whom we serve, a God for whom nothing is impossible. And so, Lord, we worship you this morning. Lord, we declare again, oh God, that you're a good God, that you're an awesome God, an all-powerful God, the almighty God. Lord, we thank you. You understand what's happening even before we realize it. And Lord, you're never caught by surprise. But Lord, from the very beginning, Lord, you know what the end is going to be, oh God. And so we worship you this morning. For indeed, you're the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. You are our God. And Lord, we give you thanks. And we give you praise. We thank you, God, you've called us to walk from victory unto victory, from faith to faith, from glory to glory. And so, Lord, as we leave this place this morning, Lord, I pray that your spirit of victory might rest upon us. And, Father, your glory might rest upon us. That, Father, you might transform the way in which we see things. Help us, oh God, to have a heavenly perspective. Help us to see things from your perspective, oh God. And so, Lord, we worship you this morning. We give you praise and honor. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and all of God's people said,